Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Bible Answers. Bible Answers is a program designed to bring you the answers for today's Christian living right from the pages of your Bible. Why did Jesus Christ come to this earth? Why did he have to come to this earth and die for the sins of human beings? Why was it that Jesus Christ came? How come there could not have been another system or another way? How come that the sacrifices of animals could not have been sufficient for the forgiveness of sin? Why was it that Jesus had to come to this earth and die the way that he did and under the circumstances that he did? And what are some of the other reasons why Jesus Christ came? And if you are a Christian, how much of that do you know as to why Jesus came? Well, I think the place we need to begin to answer this question is, who was Jesus before he became a human being? And that is of the most paramount question that we can answer, because without answering that, then we cannot understand why Jesus Christ came. And then without answering that, then we cannot understand why we are here. Because the whole reason for our purpose and the whole reason for our existence and the whole reason as to why human beings are on this earth are all wrapped up in the question, why did Jesus Christ come? So let's begin in the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John takes us back to the time before Jesus became a human being. And this is very important, because then we will understand who and what Jesus was before he became a human being. John, the first chapter, and beginning in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, what beginning is that talking about? Well, there's only one other place in the entirety of the Bible that talks about in the beginning, and that was with the creation of the heavens and the earth and the creation of human beings. So in the beginning, the Word, which is another name for Jesus, was there. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you know that Jesus Christ was God before he became human? Why did he become human then? That is the most important question that we need to answer. The very reason for his coming. Let's understand very clearly. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. Everything there is was created by Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That he was the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. And he was the one who said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and after our kind. And you know, that has been an enigma in the Old Testament, why God said, let us make man in our image. Because most people have considered that in the Old Testament, at least, that there was only one God. Because only one God seemed to have been revealed. Well, that one that was revealed was Jesus Christ. But we will see later on that one of the reasons Jesus came was to reveal the Father, was to bring about the knowledge of God the Father, and that certainly is the most important thing that he did. Let's continue on. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And few people seem to understand or realize that the very power of intellect, the very power and mind capacity that human beings have, come from a spirit that God has given, and that it is from God, and that God is the one who is interested and concerned in human beings for their life, for their health, for their well-being, that they ultimately fulfill their destiny. Did you know that unless you understand why Jesus Christ came, that you cannot understand why you are here? And that is all wrapped up in the plan of God, and that is all wrapped up in the things that God has given and is showing and is doing and is teaching. So the first point, number one, why did Jesus Christ come? and we will see that the first thing that he did was to reveal the Father. That's one of the main purposes that he did. Matthew 11 and verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Let's understand something about God the Father. God the Father was not revealed to the people in the Old Testament. The only one that was revealed was the one who was called the Eternal God, or the Lord God, or the Ever-Living One, as it should be properly translated. And that was Jesus Christ. Not many people really realize and understand that that was Jesus Christ. And not understanding that then, and not understanding why Jesus Christ came, they cannot tell you what the purpose of Christianity is for. They cannot tell you why they are here. And it's a truism that you cannot understand why you are here until you understand who God is. And then you begin to understand his plan and his purpose. And that comes through Jesus Christ, where he said here in Matthew 11 and verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. And neither knows any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So it's a very important thing to understand that no one can understand about God the Father unless it is revealed through Jesus Christ. And there's a very important reason why he is called God the Father. And just as an aside, Jesus said, in a religious sense, call no man on earth your Father. I'll just let you think on that for a little bit. Because there are people who call men on earth their Father and actually give to some of them the titles of God. And you know, when we go against what God has said, when we go against what is in the Bible, then we are not doing the things that please God. And so when we understand that the first thing Jesus did was to come and reveal the Father and also show that the Father was greater than he. Now, why else did Jesus come? He came for more than just dying for sins. And so I'm going to put as the second main reason why Jesus Christ came is to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, do you know what the gospel is? Do you know what the word means? Have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? And it is about the person of Jesus Christ. It is about his life. It is about his death. It is about his resurrection. It is about his kingship as the coming king in the kingdom of God. Those are all true. And the gospel means the good news of God's way and plan for human beings. And it's recorded in the pages of your Bible, and that's the first thing that Jesus Christ said. Mark the first chapter and verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that is the good news of the kingdom of God. What is the good news of the kingdom of God? Do you know and understand what that is? One of the basic things that we need to realize is that in Jesus Christ, number one, revealing the Father, and number two, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, shows that it's possible for human beings to come into a relationship with God, to where he is offering them eternal life. Now, isn't that good news? That you may have eternal life. You think about it for a minute. Do you want to die? Do you want life to cease? Well, of course not. What you would really like stop is to have all of the sin and the misery and wretchedness stop, wouldn't you? And that's exactly what is going to happen when the kingdom of God comes to this earth. And so we really need to understand and grasp what it is that Jesus Christ was saying. And that's why he was preaching about the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, and saying the time is fulfilled. Yes, the very time that was fulfilled for the life of Jesus Christ to come the reasons why he came, all of the prophecies involved in prophesying about the coming of Jesus Christ, beginning right with Genesis 3, right on through every one of the prophecies contained in the Old Testament. And the time had come for Jesus to begin preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and revealing God the Father. And so Jesus came preaching, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." And yes, Jesus Christ was a representative of the kingdom of God. And he was the one, the focal point of the whole purpose for the kingdom of God and the gospel of the kingdom of God. So he said, "Repent and believe the gospel." That's the first thing that Jesus Christ said. And of course, that's one of the things that he told his disciples and his apostles and those who were to preach the word of God from the time of Jesus Christ until now, that you begin and you go into all nations and you preach the kingdom of God and preach repentance and remission of sins. Why? Because sin is what holds all human beings captive and in bondage. And do you realize that in your life you have sins? Do you realize that in your life there are things that you need to change? And even as a Christian, if you consider yourself a Christian, that what you need to do is to see and understand the will of God, to believe and to live by God's way. Repent and believe the gospel. So he came to preach and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now let's see what else Jesus Christ did. And let's see how fully that he did that in the area of what is called Palestine or Jerusalem and Galilee and all the area round about that. Verse 23 of Matthew 4. Matthew 4 and verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." And so part of that is a healing message which is spiritual, a healing message which is physical, a healing message which is going to reach out and help people in their situations and in their lives so that they can be right with God. And then, of course, the fame of him went everywhere. They all knew about Jesus Christ. They all understood what he was doing, what he was preaching, what he was saying. And here again, in Matthew 9 and verse 23, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." And so one of the first things that Jesus Christ did was to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now let's see what else Jesus Christ did. Let's see the third reason why Jesus Christ came. And this is all wrapped up in one of the most popular, one of the most frequently quoted verses from the Bible. And it's one to which we need to devote a lot of time to understand it. Oh yes, it's one we learn as children growing up. But is it something that we really believe? It is something that we really understand. Is it something that is really grasping our minds and our consciousness? John 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world." Yes, God loves the world, and he loves the people in it. And God has made and created human beings for a fantastic and awesome purpose and reason. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And so the third reason why Jesus Christ came is to die for sin. And I don't think we really understand or grasp the gravity of sin and how wretched and miserable and depriving that sin is, and that sin is the opposite of love. And a lot of people say, well, the whole law is summed up in one word, love your neighbor as yourself. Or love fulfills all the law. Well, those are slight misquotations. The summary of the law of God is love. There's a little bit difference. But the kind of love that God has here, God loved the world that He gave his only begotten Son. And actually in the Greek it means his Son, the only, the begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's why Christ came, to die for sin. A lot of people have answered, well, why did Jesus Christ have to die for sin? Do you know? Have you ever understood why it was that Jesus Christ had to die for sin? Why did God die? Let's put it that way, because Jesus Christ was God incarnate. Jesus Christ was a spirit being who willingly then became a human being, begotten in the womb of Mary, and born into this world. And, you know, just to digress here a little bit, there are a lot of people who think that Mary has more power than Jesus. And there are people who think that Mary is in heaven and that they ought to pray to her for intercession. Listen, Mary is not in heaven. She is not in heaven. The Bible shows the only one that ascended to heaven is Jesus Christ. And furthermore, the Bible shows that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. Not saints and not Jesus' mother. All right, let's go on. Why did God have to die? You know, maybe God could have worked it out another way, but man has always wondered and pondered the question, why evil? Or to put it another way, why doesn't God stop evil? I mean, we look around in the world and see the things that are going on, all the hatred and killing and war and wretchedness and accidents and sickness and disease and death. Makes a lot of people wonder, is there a God? Well, they don't understand that there is also a spirit being who is the author of sin, who is the author of death, who causes mankind to sin, and God is offering the way out for all human beings through Jesus Christ and according to God's plan. Now, sure, God could stop it if he wanted to. But you know, since God has given free moral agency, he has bound himself to not stop it. Because God has not made robots out of human beings. God has given them choice, and they have to choose which way they're going to go. And in that, then, it involves sin. And if it involves sin, then it involves a way out of that sin. And that's one of the main reasons why Jesus Christ came. First, he came to reveal the Father. Next, he came to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. The third point, then, he came to die for the sins of all human beings. Now, why did God have to die? And that's what we have to understand. And when we see this, then we will understand that God has provided a way to eliminate evil if men would accept it. Now, let's realize that God is ultimately responsible for everything. Why? Because he is the creator of all things. Therefore, then, he's assumed all responsibility for all evil. Now, that is, even though he is not evil and sinful himself, and he is not the author of wickedness and sin, but because God is over everything, then it's God's responsibility then, or that is, God must reconcile or cleanse everyone from evil. Now let's ask the question. Does any other being have the capacity to do that? Now let's talk about Satan, who is Lucifer before he became Satan, and he was a created angelic being. And he was created to be a light bringer. But Lucifer is the originator of sin because he was the first one to transgress the laws of God. And he rebelled in vanity, thinking he was good as God. And he claimed that he would become God. And then one third of the angels followed him in that rebellion. And so this is when Lucifer became Satan, the adversary, or Satan, the devil. And then the rebelling angels that followed him became demons. And after that, then, there was war in heaven, and it left the earth in ruin and parts of the heaven in shambles of destruction. And Satan and his angels were cast back to the earth. And everything that Lucifer and the angels had on this earth before their rebellion was destroyed. And so then God had to provide a way out. God had to intervene and cleanse. God then recreated the surface of the earth. And since the time of the recreation of the earth, as we find in Genesis, the first chapter, then, God has given choice to mankind. He originally gave it to Adam and Eve, and he said, here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that, but here's the tree of life, eat of that. And so mankind chose the wrong way. And from that time on, nearly all of mankind has followed the dictates of human nature under the sway of Satan the devil and has been cut off from God. Now, since God chose not to stop Satan or remove evil at that time, God had to assume full responsibility for ultimately bringing mankind out from underneath the subjugation of sin and Satan. And he provided that way back through the death of Jesus Christ. And we find this recorded for us in Hebrews, the second chapter. The reason why Jesus Christ, who is the one who created all human beings, the one who created all angels, the one who created everything that there is in this universe, he had to die because he had to cover the sins of Satan and the sins of all human beings. Hebrews, the second chapter. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And so God took upon himself that very human death, which God the Father then would accept, instead of the death of all human beings. Now that is what you would say the greatest act of love and understanding that we need to grasp. Continuing now in Hebrews, the second chapter, and we're in verse 8. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Because you see, all human beings have suffered. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy, or that is, render powerless and annul him, that is Satan, that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And that's what it is with human beings when we are wrapped up in sin, when we are wrapped up in the ways of this world. That's why Jesus Christ said that we need to repent and come out of it. So that's why Jesus Christ became a human being, that he could be subject to death and taste death for every man. Now, why did it have to be Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus in the human form was subject to every type of temptation any human being could ever experience. But he never yielded to a single temptation of the flesh or of Satan. Jesus never sinned. And that's the whole point that people miss in the life of Jesus Christ. It is not only his death that is valuable, but his death is only valuable because his life was valuable, because Jesus Christ did not sin. And that's then why he can be our high priest, and that is why he can be our mediator. And it should be very simple and clear then to understand that that is why only Jesus Christ is our mediator, because no other human being has ever been sinless, and that includes his mother, Mary, and that includes all of those who are the saints of God, who are dead and in their grave and waiting for the resurrection. And therefore, they cannot make intercession for you because they're not there. Now let's understand why Jesus Christ was the one, why his life was worth more than all humans who have ever lived and died. One, he was the only human to never sin. Two, he was the only human to never once yield to a temptation of Satan the devil, and the only human to ever completely overcome him. Three, he was the only human being to live his life totally God's way. Four, he was the first begotten of God the Father. And five, he was God in the flesh, the creator of all humanity. So therefore, his death in the human form could then be accepted as full payment for all human sin because he is creator of all human beings. So only the precious blood of the Lamb of God could atone for all human sin. And this is the way that God condemned sin in the flesh. When Jesus Christ died once for all, then God the Father accepted the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ as full payment for the penalty of our sins. And his death then took the place of our second death. Because you see, the wages of sin is death. And there is also a second death which is going to happen to people who refuse to repent and accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And this is one of the main reasons why Jesus Christ came. And in understanding this, we have to realize then that the death of God was a complete and perfect sacrifice and atonement because his life in the flesh encompassed the full scope of human experience. And on the human level, he suffered every type of temptation possible. He suffered the most vile of human indignities and excruciating tortures and enduring violent beating, scourging and crucifixion, and the shame of public death. And he suffered rejection by his own people. He suffered injustice at the hands of the religious and civil authorities. And he was a victim of political and religious hypocrisy. I don't think people really understand that. That they say, oh, woe is me. Well, no one has suffered this. Yes, Jesus did before you did. Yet he overcame all and even won the total victory over Satan the devil. How? Through perfect love and obedience to God the Father. Now, maybe then you can understand what it means then when God said that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him or in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, maybe you understand a little bit more why Christians are bought with a price and are not their own. You see, Christians really belong to Christ, who paid for them with his own blood. And this is how then Christians have been released from the bondage of sin and have been reconciled to God the Father. And that is one of the main beginning points of Christianity. But there are other reasons why Jesus Christ came. And you can also write in for this material on the reason and the purposes for Jesus coming. And this has been Fred Coulter saying goodbye, everyone.
The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6B5B2, Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney, 2001. Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, 2981. Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, Uyo, that is UYO, 520001, Accra, Imbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Whittam, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willor, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.